Racial, ethnic, gender, and sexual minorities often suffer from poor mental health outcomes due to multiple factors. Here to tell us about some of those today is Dr. Inger Burnett-Ziegler. She's an associate professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at Northwestern Medicine. Dr. Burnett-Ziegler, I'm so glad to have you joining us today. This is such an important topic. It's a great topic, really. Data shows that people from racial or ethnic minority groups are less likely to receive mental health care. Can you share some of your recent findings and help us understand more about why this is the case?
Sure. Just to frame this a little bit, we do know national studies have shown us that about 50% of people in general, regardless of racial ethnic minority status, receive the mental health care that they need. And within that, racial and ethnic minorities are even 50% less likely to access mental health care. Some of the things that are associated with barriers to care are what I like to think about is both psychological and concrete factors. So the concrete factors are things that, you know, many of us are already aware of: insurance coverage, transportation, child care, just the financial component of being able to access care. But also important to consider are the psychological factors, which are things like even recognizing that you have a need for treatment, believing that treatment will be helpful to you, stigma associated with accessing treatment, embarrassment, shame, those types of things. So when I think of barriers to care, I think of both those psychological and those concrete factors.
Well, I'm glad you brought up stigma, because that, no matter who you are, seems to be a barrier to access to mental health care. People are still concerned of what others will think and others in their community. And then there's also language barriers when you're talking about minority groups. You recently published a study that examined the mindfulness-based interventions in low-income African-American women with depressive symptoms. Share some of those findings for us, doctor, and tell us what mindfulness-based interventions really means.
Sure. So this study came about with the knowledge that racial and ethnic minority groups, particularly in the African-American community, are less likely to engage in traditional mental health care. And by that, I mean cognitive behavioral therapy, other types of psychotherapy, and receive antidepressant treatments. And so I was really interested in understanding, well, if we know that folks are not going to come to these standardized methods of mental health care, what other things might be useful? And there's a hefty literature at this point indicating that mindfulness-based interventions do help with symptoms of stress, depression, and anxiety. And mindfulness-based interventions are anything from increased awareness about stressors, breathing exercises, yoga, mindful walks. There's a kind of a whole host, but when we generally talk about mindfulness-based interventions, they're based in breathing, awareness of the physical responses to stress, and yoga. And so I conducted a study that taught folks on the South Side, primarily African-American women, how to use these mindfulness-based practices in a group-based intervention that ran over 8 weeks. And in that study, we found that people did report less stress, increased mindfulness, less depression, and fewer symptoms related to trauma. And we were really excited to see that something like mindfulness could be particularly useful in a community that has limited access to traditional mental health care.
How did you get people to participate in the study, doctor?
Well, one thing that we were especially mindful of is that we did not use words like depression in our flyers. So we talked about stress, we talked about wellness, we talked about things like irritability, feeling overwhelmed, feeling fatigued. And we flyered, we asked physicians to refer participants. And to be honest, contrary to what a lot of studies experienced, folks were interested. I think right now that conversations are increasing around mental health, and there's more of a recognition that people are stressed, people are overwhelmed, people are frustrated. We found that folks were really taking that important first step to do something to promote their own mental health and wellness.
As I said at the beginning, this is a really great topic, and I think we are all feeling these types of stress today. If providers tuning in are interested in incorporating mindfulness-based interventions into their practice, no matter who their practice is aimed at, where's a good place for them to start?
I think the best place for a provider to start that's interested in mindfulness-based interventions is to start their own mindfulness practice. And one could go about doing that by looking up mindfulness-based stress reduction, which is one of the most commonly known mindfulness-based interventions, and their MBSR, which is known for short, offered across the city. They do come at a fee. They're typically around $300 to $400. I think the one that's through Northwestern is a little bit less expensive. And just understanding what it is for yourself, developing a personal mindfulness practice, learning to, you know, recognize our own stressors as providers is a really important step. And then there are lots of ways to continue that education after that point. But that's where I would recommend starting.
That's great advice, Doctor. So as we're talking about mental health and disparities and barriers to access, what would you like other providers to know about providing better treatment for diverse populations across the spectrum, whether it is mental health related or women's health, gynecological care, any of these things? How can they address the diversity and help with some of those barriers? Because it's a real problem. And I think that more providers can get involved, but they need to know what to do and how to do it.
I think a great place to start is just with an awareness, being aware of some of the unique factors that patients that you're working with might be experiencing, and bringing that into the clinical setting. We do know from a psychology-psychiatry perspective that many of the evidence-based interventions, like mindfulness-based interventions, like cognitive behavioral therapy, are evidence-based, but they're not necessarily tested on diverse populations. And what that means is that although these are tools at our disposal, we also have to adopt a flexible perspective when we're using these types of approaches with diverse groups, knowing that everything may not fit everyone. And another thing I think is really important is really adopting a strengths-based approach. And so, you know, we know that folks, particularly in the African American community, may have greater rates of stress, more experiences with trauma, but also have a lot of tools and strategies and resilience that can be worked with not only to improve mental health, but also help to engage people in their physical health as well. And so it's definitely important that we don't lose sight of the strengths that our patients are coming to us with.
What a great point. As we wrap up, give us some of your top recommendations that you'd like physicians or healthcare providers to consider when they're treating patients from any racial or ethnic minority group. Maybe something special that you have realized, or teaching mindfulness, empathy, understanding, you know, that, because I think that that's a big problem and a big issue for providers, is trying to understand what these ethnic minority groups are going through and what their special needs for healthcare might be. Wrap it up with your best advice, what you would like them to know about this.
I love that you said empathy, and I think that that's something that's really important to underscore. It's also important to underscore where we as providers have blind spots and how we have to be aware of our blind spots and use that awareness to educate and inform ourselves about people who are not like us. And I think that that holds true no matter who you are as a provider or who you may be working with. And to adopt an empathetic approach when working with people. And we have to stay on top of our game. You know, we have to be educated and informed about what's happening in diverse communities, and so that we can bring that knowledge to our clinical practice as well.
Well said. Absolutely true. And thank you so much for the studies that you're doing and for coming on, joining us, and letting other providers know really what's important when they're dealing with ethnic minorities and how to make their practice more mindful-based. Thank you again. And that wraps up this episode of Better Edge, a Northwestern Medicine podcast for physicians. For more information on the latest advances in medicine, check out nm.org to get connected with one of our providers. If you found this podcast as informative as I did, please share with other providers that you know, because that way we can all learn together and use that empathy in healthcare practices all over the country. And don't miss all the other interesting podcasts in the Northwestern Medicine Library. Until next time, I'm Melanie Cole.